as we have been doing throughout the Easter season. He is risen. And part of why we're celebrating Easter in this way and why we developed this sermon series called Salvation is to recognize that salvation flows from the resurrected Christ. It's because of Christ's resurrection that we even begin or get to have the conversation about salvation. And so we've been spending several weeks now talking about what it is. We've been sharing metaphors. And we thought it was appropriate this Sunday, on the last Sunday of Easter, to not have someone stand up here and say, well, let me look throughout Scripture and give you a different metaphor, but to hear from you. What are the metaphors that are operational from you as it relates to salvation? So we're going to unpack this in two different ways, ask kind of two different questions. So you're aware of what's going on. The first one that we're going to get into are, what are the metaphors around salvation that you've been thinking about or that have come to your mind or that have surfaced for you? And then after we do that for a few minutes, we're going to come back and sing. And then I'm going to stand up and say, well, now tell me, how is salvation playing out in your life? How are you experiencing salvation? So you might say, well, those sound really similar, and they are, but they're two different questions that kind of hopefully will get at what's going on in the life of this community. So with that being said, I've got a mic because we've got the air conditioning on and the blowers on. Rather than having me repeat everything that you say, I'm just going to hand you the mic and then you'll get to kind of share it out loud with all of us. If you're up in the balcony, I'm not going to throw the mic to you. We'll just have you shout it out and then we'll see how well we can hear it there. Okay, so metaphors for salvation. What are the metaphors that you have seen or that are prevalent for you when you think about what is salvation? Yeah, Darren.
Can I stay seated?
You can stay. Great. You can stand up if you want.
I'll stay seated. The one that is meaningful to me is a picture of a person who goes out and grabs a stray cat and brings him into his house. That I'm the stray cat and God's the owner. And there's all this time of hiding and hissing and scratching. Mm. And if I would just calm down and let what God wants to be done in my life be done, I'd be in the lap of luxury. But instead, keep trying to do it my way like I was still fending for myself, and I'm not.
Great. The bringer in of stray cats. Thanks, Darren. I'll pass that down.
My name's Jelena, and a couple weeks ago, we were not here, but Jesse kind of told our story a little bit about the life of our children. And so the metaphor for us is just an ever-present life where there was not supposed to be life. And this is Noel. So those of you that were here that Sunday, this is life where there was no life, and that salvation is intended. And it's hope where there is no hope, because doctors had said that there would be no life and there would be no hope. And this is our hope, you know, that we're all created to live an intentional life, and that through Christ's intentional saving us of us all, where sometimes we're not worth it. We all have really broken stories. And my children's stories are very broken, but there is just woven redemption through them. And we're not any different. You know, we're adopted by a God that loves us in spite of our broken stories and our brokenness. So this is our metaphor. This is Noel.
The flesh and blood metaphors are always the best, huh? Salvation is life. Salvation is hope. I love it. Bob.
When I look back on my pre-Jesus life, and sometimes I do, and there's baggage back there, and then I remember, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. And where I grew up, passed away means they died. And so I can look back almost 34 years now and remember the guy that preceded that died, and a new man was born. And so I don't have to go through life with that, that early life baggage that I had. And I see that continuing in my life. I'll still find little particles of baggage and stuff. And those things continually can be cast off in the realization that I'm a new man.
Thanks, Bob. Being a new person. Other metaphors for salvation. Other ways you've been thinking about it. Yeah. I love it. This row, as I'm walking in here, they're like, no, I don't want the mic. Who's asked for the mic?
I was talking to a wise woman I know a couple weeks ago, and she was talking about the story when Jesus comes back to his disciples after he's risen from the dead, and he shows them his wounds, and she was just talking about how she couldn't get past the part that he had wounds on his living body. And just like, that's kind of what I've been experiencing lately, or that really hit me. Just that the things that we experience in our lives, the wounds and hard things we go through, like, they don't keep us from living, but like, through Christ we get to have new life. I think that's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Living wounds. And the fact that those don't go away, but they're a reminder for something else, I appreciate that. That's awesome. What else? Other metaphors. Yeah, Eric.
I'm going to say that my metaphor is loss. I've had two really bad car accidents within the last 2 months. The first time, my brand new car of 3 weeks was totaled. And last weekend, my second brand new car was pretty badly damaged. And I was really depressed and upset, thinking, what is going on? Some other things in my life were not so good at the same time. And so I had last weekend to reflect on this and came to the conclusion, I'm not sure that this is what God was trying to tell me, but I'm pretty sure or I have a good feeling that maybe it is, but sort of letting my cars, fancy cars, nice clothes, whatever, sort of define who I am. And to me, to lose those things was very significant, especially in light of what happened in Joplin, thinking of people who lost everything that they had. They had nothing other than the clothes on their back, if that, but they still had their identity. And so as I'm seeing things outside of myself as being part of my identity, I have to dig deeper and think, those are not my identity. Who I am, my real essence, is what God created me to be. So I have to let go and use the loss of these things to allow me to have God penetrate my heart to see who I really am.
Oh, that's great, Eric. If you didn't hear that, because Eric's voice was fluctuating, but just the idea that salvation is the loss of material things in order for him to find his identity and what God is doing around helping him discover who he really is. Thank you. Other metaphors. Yeah, Karen.
Well, I just can't help but keep thinking of that old story or tale about the man that's in the flood, and he's sitting on his rooftop, and he's like, God will help me, God will save me, God will come, and, you know, the guy comes by in the boat, and he's like, can I give you a hand? He's like, no, I'm waiting for God, it's okay. And then someone comes by in a, you know, in a helicopter and says, you know, can we give you a hand? He's like, no, God will save me. And you know, he has all these opportunities of other, and he has his mindset on what that's going to look like when that salvation comes. And finally he says, you know, God, why didn't you come, you know, help me? He's like, well, I sent you a plane and I sent you a boat. And I, you know, so I think it's just that idea of trying to get outside of what you think salvation's going to look like or how it's going to come to you, and being more eyes wide open to how that may present itself.
Ah, that's great. Thanks, Garrett. are we ready to receive salvation when it comes? And that salvation oftentimes is surprising, right? I love that too. Other things, other metaphors, ways you've been thinking about this. Do you have a hand or kind of? Okay.
A significant thing in our lives has been, we've had two friends that have gone through cancer and seen the restoration of their health and kind of likening that to resurrection of the body. Mm. And it's just this really cool thing to see happening right now as they've been kind of resurrected from being taken down with that disease, and knowing that there is this physical aspect of salvation as well.
Great. Restoration of health, right? The physical body healing from cancer. Kelly.
I'm going to say that salvation is something that comes exactly when God plans it to. Like, that's part of the reason why I read that verse from Psalm 145, and it's a lesson that I think he's been teaching me is, I mean, I'm going to talk circularly here for a second, but one of, I think, the most significant parts of the Easter weekend is Holy Saturday, when people are waiting and have no idea what's going on. And I just find that I find myself and I see my friends in places where we are waiting for it all to make sense. And sometimes he shows up in the 11th hour when you just think that he's about ready to just fail you. And he, I guess to me, salvation, part of the salvation is the process.
Salvation is a process, and it comes right on time, not in our time, but in God's time. Great. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you all to kind of continue to hold kind of what you're feeling. We're going to come back after we sing a couple more times. So let me invite you to stand. Let's continue our worship, our celebration of salvation and the resurrection, and we'll jump right into it. I love that phrase. Shout it. Go on and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell the masses that he is God. Isn't that really what we're talking about here? God being God to us, that's what gets us kind of all stirred up, right? The fact, that's what salvation is essentially. And so I think if you keep that in mind, how is God being God to you? And then the second thing, why we think this is just important time, although at times I think it can feel a little awkward, especially as I'm asking you all a question and then some of you look down and some of you look straight ahead. Please don't look at me. Please don't look at me. But the point is that we need to spend more of our time sharing our stories with each other, seeing in this big story of God as it is unfolding, how is that playing out for us, and how can we get this community of people to not only hear it but at times come alongside with us? So experientially, how is God being God to you? How has that played out for you? What are some experiences that you have, something that you'd be willing to share with this community? Ginger.
I'm still sort of in the salvation theme too, but I'm just thinking about the wholeness that we sang the phrase, the first set of songs about he walks beside us. And I like things to look pretty everywhere. I like things to look neat and orderly. And yet to do that, I hide a lot of stuff, whether it's here or at home or at friend's house, where I just want everything to look good and be a nice package. And yet, if you went downstairs and looked in our storage closets or down the hall, you can just see all the stuff we hid. You know, I walked in because we had roof repair, and it's like, oh, there's just debris everywhere, and I didn't catch it. And so everybody's going to walk by and see it. And it's like Joplin when tornadoes come and you can't do anything. It's just rubble everywhere. Or for me, both of my parents have died in the last 2.5 years, and there was a season when I couldn't hide the devastation. There were just so many piles of, like, my insides were on my outside, and it wasn't beautiful, and it was really hard, and I couldn't hide it. And yet that, to me, is salvation. He walks beside us, and we're still walking. And at times it's not beautiful, and yet the redefinition is it is beautiful. There's beautiful parts of me, and there's still really horribly ugly parts of me. And yet they're all parts of me, whether it's debris or whether it's compassion. He walks beside us. And that is salvation. It's the wholeness of what he's doing to make even the ugly things that aren't new yet beautiful somehow.
Yeah, thanks, Ginger. Salvation is the resurrected Christ walking beside us, and then in that somehow prompting us to unearth or reveal the places in us that aren't so beautiful, being willing to share that, and then have some other folks to come alongside. Thanks, Ginger. Travis.
Well, I just wanted to share our story the last year. So I was about—I was 25 when I had my first seizure, and it was a partial seizure in my left arm. And it was actually here in church the first time I had a seizure, and I was sitting up front towards the front and didn't know what was going on. My arm was starting to shake, and I didn't know what was happening. So I felt like I needed to walk, so I walked out of the sanctuary and went outside with my wife and really didn't know what was going on. And so kind of put it off for a while, and we were pregnant with our second child. And so for insurance purposes, I put it off for 6 months. This is August of 2009 that I had my cerebral seizure. And then in May, had a MRI, and they found a brain tumor. It was last May. And so they did the pathology on it and found it was cancerous. And it's called a oligodendroglioma. And so we spent like another 6 months just thinking about what to do and praying about it and trying to figure out, you know, what God wants me to do, if I should have surgery, radiation, or chemo, just what's the right move to do. And so we decided to go ahead with surgery last December. And so it's December of 2010, and we went out to San Francisco, and we found a really good neurosurgeon out there, and he's like one of the best in the country. And so we had surgery done, and I was out there over Christmas, and then we, so a week after surgery, I had a grand mal seizure, which is kind of normal after brain surgery. And then they took me to acute rehab, where the left side of my body, I couldn't really move at all after surgery. So they had to do physical therapy to fix that. And it took about 2 weeks to start walking again. And then it was like the first of the year we came back home. And our funny side note, so we came back home and we had to go to the hospital again because our 1-year-old had ate a caterpillar and was in the hospital. They had to put her under and pull out all these little quills and stuff. But so it took about a month to get back to pretty much, you know, 90%. And then I had been off work that whole time, so went back to work after my short-term disability expired, and I work for a Cerner Corporation up north, and they're pretty strict about working and structure and stuff like that. So went back to work and was working part-time for 2 weeks, and then went to full-time. And I've been on different medicines for seizures and stuff. And so out in California, they switched me to Dilantin, just another seizure drug. And then when I came back home, I was switched back to a drug called Keppra. And so as I was working, I was on this drug called Keppra, but so during this whole time, I've been researching different ways to treat cancer, and there's a new therapy out there, vaccine therapy. So I decided to do that instead of radiation or chemo. And so I've been doing a vaccine for the last two months out in Pittsburgh. And they give me two shots in the arm, each time I go out. And they're really smart out there. They know what they're talking about, and it seems to be working so far, what I can tell. But the first time I went out there, they said that it can cause swelling, and I was worried about having another seizure, another grand mal seizure. So I, taking the advice of my doctors, I upped the dose of my, it's called Keppra, and so it kind of complicated the issue. When I got back from my first vaccine, I had upped this dose of this medicine, and they, I went back to work that Monday, and they thought I was acting strange and stuff. And then on Tuesday, my, so this part's more, sorry for the long story, but this is the part that's been most recent, so that's why I go into more detail about it. But basically, I went to, back to work, and then they saw some changes in my behavior and escorted me out with these two guards. And so I was off for 2 weeks, basically. And during that time, my family was seeing some strange stuff, too. My friends. So I didn't really think anything was going on. And but everyone else around me saw stuff strange. So they took me to the hospital like 3 different times, and they didn't, they couldn't figure out what was going on. And it's kind of funny, on April Fool's, they took me back to the hospital trying to figure out what was going on. And it's complicated, as I had my vaccine and I had all these drugs too. So they figured out that day, April Fool's, that I was had a rare side effect to the Keppra, and it's called Keppra psychosis. So it makes you paranoid and delusional. So they took me off that day, but it takes a while for it to get out of your system. So they actually sent me down to Osawatomie. It's a mental hospital down there. And I was there for 3 days over the weekend, and it was the longest 3 days of my life. Saw lots of crazy stuff. I was still lucid, like everyone thought I couldn't remember stuff, but if you have a grand mal seizure, you can't remember anything. But psychosis, it's everything's lucid and you can remember everything. So I remember pretty much everything going on down there. After that, I got out on that Monday. My wife and family were fighting for me to get out, and they were going to have a court date, and I was going to have to stay down there for another 20 days if it went to court, probably, which would have been awful.
So, Travis, I want to just to give you a chance here. As we think about this, as you're sitting here this morning,
right,
about salvation, tell me, how is God really present to you? What's the word that you want to say about
the
that?
The word I want to say is, it's like a second chance at life. So you have brain cancer, and mine's a slow-growing cancer, but it's a second chance at life. So kind of the similarities to salvation, it's like you're born again, and also it's kind of like, I feel like I'm indebted to God almost, more so than before. So like, salvation gives you a chance to start over again. And also kind of the fact that, you know, God's done this great thing for you. But it hasn't been really real to me until the last year, just seeing that, you know, God's given me the second chance. I got into this vaccine trial. It's very hard to get into. There's only 8 of us in the trial, and I'm one of a very few percentage. So of cancers, brain tumors are only 1% of tumors out there. And then of that 1%, mine's like 10% of that. So it's very, very rare. And that all that God's done for me, it's just amazing that just have a new start in life and the patience that God's given me. So that's what I related to.
Great. Thanks, Travis.
Yeah.
Other stories about how God is saving you.
So my name's Katie Pavlish, and last week was pretty emotional. My uncle passed away, and so it was my mom's brother. And but as sad as death is, it's also a new beginning for a lot of people. My uncle had a lot of things. He actually had AIDS, and he also had, but the sad thing that like actually killed him was his alcoholism. So I guess something that is salvational is like to live life with intent. And anyways, I had to drive up to North Dakota, which if anybody knows, that's out in the middle of nowhere. And I drove like over 3,000 miles on my car because I couldn't afford the plane ticket, which out to North Dakota, it was over Memorial Day weekend that we had the funeral, and it would have been like $840, which that's a lot of money for a single girl and anybody really to drive up there. So anyways, I had a long drive out there by myself to meet up with my family. And during the death of my uncle, his two kids, like it actually was really nice because salvational, like we all were able to get together as family, which death, unfortunately, like you want to celebrate people's life, but it brings people together during those times. So anyways, driving back or driving up there, a lot of time to think, not really any phone reception, so not really can't call your friends or talk on the phone that long up there either. So anyways, during my uncle's death, I really had a new sense of like awe for God because I think my uncle, like he didn't mean to have a selfish life, but it kind of ended that way, I guess, just because his family, like we all loved him a lot, but because alcoholism, and he hid a lot of things, like how you mentioned with your story, we hide things, but I loved my uncle a lot and my family did too, but it actually was like a sense of peace because my other uncle, speaking of the terms of cancer, he has stomach cancer. And if my other uncle hadn't passed away, I don't know if I would have gotten to drive up and see my other uncle. And he's been diagnosed with that, last year. So it's been really aggressive. And I don't know if he's gonna make it. So anyways, salvationally, I got to say hello to my uncle and maybe goodbye, but it was a really good trip. So God is good and he does great things through death and life. And on the actual funeral of my uncle, we actually baptized my little cousin, which was my uncle's son's godchild, grandchild. So anyways, it just, God is good through all things. And so anyways, my salvation is through like family and friends that are there to support. So my uncle, he didn't die a selfish life, but a really good life. And it was fun to hear his stories about him as a child. Because my uncle, my mom is the youngest child on that side. My uncle was 65, so he lived a long life. So anyways, just God is good.
Oh, thank you. Even in the midst of loss, God being present to us, revealing things to us, absolutely. So first, let me say thank you. I know this can be a difficult thing, just kind of sit and hear, and it's certainly not something that we do often, but I have this sense that it's something that we should be doing more. And so let me encourage you, as you continue to be a part of this community, that you find people that you can share your story to. So, because what's revealed in that is God's bigger story that's going on. And you heard that while salvation belongs to God, that sometimes it's revealed through family and friends. And we hope that as a part of Jacob's Well, whether you're a longtime person around here or you're brand new, that you can find some folks that will help reveal that to you as you need it, as God is prompting it.